Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 22. As we consider this topic, would you be true? Last week, we saw how Paul make his bold proclamation that he is ready to depart from this world. And he said with great conviction in his heart, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I pray that we will also be able to say this when the time comes for us to depart from this world. If there is anybody who is a model of what it means to be true, loyal, and wholly devoted to the Lord, then it must be the Apostle Paul. For ever since his conversion at the road to Damascus, he threw himself fully and totally to the work of Christ, not fearing for his own life, not sparing his own health, totally consumed with the preaching of the Word of God and with the strengthening of the saints with the truth of the Holy Scriptures. How wonderful an example we have in the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul, now that he is about to depart from the world, he is not intending to depart from this purpose and this motto and this conviction that he has in his heart all this while. He wants to be true all the way to the end. And so when you talk about this topic, will you be true? Right? Please note that this is not a question that you ask yourself only today. But this ought to be a question that you should ask yourself every step of the way until your time is up upon this earth. For surely as Christians, we ought to desire that we must be faithful and true all the way to the end. That is why the Reverend Timothy told, when discussing about whether a man is faithful, he would always warn his students, don't you ever dare say that you are faithful. Because how to truly assess whether a man is faithful or not would be to look at his entire life in entirety. And for the Apostle Paul, how thankful we are that indeed this is a person who can say that I have kept the faith all the way until the end. And of course, he is concerned that Timothy would also be such a one to finish the course and to keep the faith also all the way to the end. At the same time, as we study this passage, well, we see many names. But these many names are also very instructive concerning the theme today. For when you look at these names, you will really be able to see how, at the end, whether these people that are mentioned down here, whether they are true and faithful. Some may appear to have begun well, but as time goes by, they fall away. Others, of course, are very hardened. They have never repented. They have always set themselves against the servant of God. There are others who struggled, did not begin well at all, but after that, they repented, and towards the end of Paul's life, they are found profitable and useful in the work of the Lord. And there are those who were true all the way until the end. Which one will you be? Which one will you be? That will be the question. Will you be true? Well, we thank God that Paul was true, and he also has this desire that young Timothy would be true, and he truly believed that young Timothy would be kept all the way to the end. And so here in verse 9, he says, "Do thy diligence, be very quick to come shortly unto me. I have certain needs, and I know that I can trust you at this point of time to make this journey from Ephesus all the way to Rome, where I'm in prison and about to meet my end." Not an easy journey. Please understand that when you read the scriptures, "Do thy diligence to come shortly," right, "quickly unto me." It is not just buying a plane ticket and then flying from Ephesus to Rome. Now you can do that. Right, you can take a coach down to the Turkish airport, and then you can fly. Right? You can fly to Rome. But in those days, no, you will have to travel by foot, or you have to go by sea, right? In order to reach Rome, right? Likely you have to travel by sea. And as you travel by sea, sometimes you may meet with storms. Not an easy journey. But he knew that young Timothy is somebody whom he can trust in order to make that journey, to bring some things which the apostle thought would be valuable to him just before he departs. So we are so thankful for young Timothy, right? Faithful unto this point. And we would like to trust that he was faithful also to the end. But why did Paul have such needs? Because you realize that he was very, very lonely. You would expect that as a man that is faithful in the work of Christ, plowing in the harvest fields, one that seems to be much respected by the brethren, that at the end of the life there would be many people around him encouraging him, strengthening him, helping him as he get ready to depart from the world. But no, very few were with him. In fact, if you look at the scriptures down here, you will see that only Luke is with him, right? Verse 11, only Luke is with him. Well, maybe there could be a few more brethren, as you will see later on. But by and by, lonely. Few friends. They are not there with him. Perhaps what can be more trying at this point of time may not be the prison. Sometimes it's loneliness. Loneliness can sometimes kill. And sometimes lonely people don't want to admit that they are lonely, but they are very lonely. And the Apostle Paul is lonely down here. And why was he lonely? Well, because there were some that betrayed him and forsook him. Well, that is what you read in verse 10. Right, for here in verse 10, the scripture says, "For Demas have forsaken me." And this word for forsaken is a very strong word, right, for departure. Not only did he depart him, but he totally abandoned him, left him, and is not intending to return anymore. Yes, Demas has forsaken me. Now, who is Demas? Well, Demas was somebody whom the Apostle Paul trusted very much in the beginning. Right, went with him and with Luke, right, along the missionary journeys. especially, right, we know at least, right, with respect to the second missionary journey. Now, how do we know this? Right, because we read of Demas in the book of Colossians. Right, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, and we will read about Demas. And very interestingly, you will see that Demas is oftentimes mentioned together with Luke, right? Because here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, at the end of the epistle whereby you have the greetings, here God's word says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So at this point of time, at the writing of the epistle to the Colossian church, well, Demas was a well-valued brethren and a co-laborer together with Paul. And you will find another mention of Demas in Philemon. Right, you turn with me to Philemon, verse 24. Right, Philemon. After Titus, Philemon, and verse 24. And here, God's word says, Marcus, right, likely John Mark. Then you have Aristarchus, you have Demas, and then you have Lucas, right? That is Luke, my fellow laborers. I see Demas' name there. Right? Demas' name is stated down there. Right? In line with right, Paul's favorite right, co-laborer. But what happened? What happened? Well, along the way, the bright lights of the world caught his attention. And he loved it. He loved this present world. He loved this present age. And when we talk about this present world, it's not only with regards to the things of the world, right, but also with regards to the philosophy of the world, that thinking. He once again began to embrace such a thinking. And he wants to walk in the comforts of the world. And then when he saw, oh, now that the Apostle Paul is in prison, he didn't want to be associated with him anymore. Oh, last time he was the apostle that was famous, the apostle that everybody looked up to. And so, yes, let me follow him. But now he's in prison. Oh, he's very likely to lose his life. And if I am associated with him, oh, maybe my name will be brought down. Or perhaps I may even be caught and also be put into prison. And even if not, my reputation will take a hit. Life is going to be so difficult for me. Let me now go to Thessalonica. And some scholars would say that likely this Thessalonica would be back to his hometown. Go back and dwell there. And so therefore, with time, when put to the test, he did not stay loyal with the Apostle Paul. Some even say that, oh, perhaps Demas may not even be born again. Well, we do not know about that. But what we can say is he was not loyal to Christ. Yes, he was not loyal to Paul. That is definitely true. And if Paul was someone who was working faithfully with the Lord, and he was, and as the apostle, the Bible tells us that they were granted special grace, whereby their writing, their preaching were inerrant and infallible, the pattern of service was also infallible, surely he ought to have followed the apostle. But he did not. And once he did not walk with such a man, it is as good as saying, I do not want Christ anymore. I choose comfort over Christ. I choose life, my physical life, over Christ. How sad. Was this a man who was true? With time and with the circumstances of life, finally it was revealed and it was displayed. No, not such a one. And this was one that began well. This was one that seemed to even have a similar standing with Luke. But no, he abandoned and he betrayed the Apostle Paul. Well, please don't be like Demas. Please be like Luke, right? Only Luke is with me. Well, we thank God for Luke. Yeah, we thank God for every Demas, there is a Luke. Well, the Lord was merciful and gracious to Paul. So at least not Luke and Demas. It is, Demas left, but there was still Luke, and Luke was there to minister to him, to look after his needs. Well, let us be Luke, not Demas. And so therefore Paul was very lonely. Demas had forsaken him. And what about the other brethren? Well, if you look at verse 10, you will realize that some simply were not able to be there. Now, you will realize that two brethren are mentioned down here. One is called Crescens, the other one is called Titus. Now, Crescens and Titus, you will see that the Apostle Paul did not state any reason why they were not able to be with him. Just simply stated down here, Crescens, and this is the only mention of Crescens down here. He is in Galatia. So yes, he may not have been so well known as Luke or Demas. But seems like Crescens was someone, well, at this point of time, whom the Apostle Paul regarded as faithful, but because the work demands it. Because Christ has willed that Crescens should be at Galatia to minister to the saints there and to do his work. So therefore, Crescens, right, was simply not able to be with Paul. What about Titus, another trusted associate? Well, also not able to be before, because now the Lord's will is for Titus to be with Dalmatia, to be in Dalmatia. No fault of theirs. It's just that the Lord has led them to another corner of the world to shine. And sometimes in the work of the Lord, it is like this. I'm not sure if the Lord will cause some more young men and women down here in the work of the Lord. We have some young men and women studying in FEBC. Well, I'm glad Rachel arrived in one piece. No missiles in Israel, right? No missiles, huh? Back safe and sound. And she is studying now in FEBC. Well, we pray for her. Pray that she will do well. FEBC, when they study, they laugh a lot, but they also cry a lot, because the studies are very rigorous, right? But they also have their friends, right, to share in their joy and woe, right? They sit down during lunch, during dinner, during breakfast, they cry and laugh together. But after that, when graduation comes, everybody will return home. And once you return home and once you trust into the field, everybody would be busy for the Lord if they are faithful to the Lord. Where would there be the opportunity to meet? Sometimes never. In some places of the world, there is no such thing as Facebook or email or what. The internet connection is really very bad. You see that person, bye-bye, last time in Changi Airport, go means go already. Really, you don't see that person again. Unless suddenly a letter comes from afar, oh, may I attend the church camp in that particular church which helped them in the study? Oh, then maybe you'll see that person again. But other than that, there they are, there they go. Not that they are unfaithful, but they have the task which the Lord has given them to do. And so everybody goes their separate ways. Even sometimes in Singapore, even though a small island, Well, sometimes you want to contact your own friend also is difficult. Because why your friend also has his own problems to handle. How about those of you in the congregation? Well, it can happen that way too. Right? You have your own friends, but sometimes so happen that when you need some help, your friends are not there, not through any fault of theirs. Perhaps it's holiday period. Right now it's holiday period. So some will fly to Phuket, some will go to Japan, some will go to Hong Kong, and whatever places that you're going, and then suddenly the brethren in Singapore has trouble. My good friend is now not here. And for all you know, the good friend who flew to the other country suddenly has some help, and then he says, well, who to help now in a foreign land, no one to help also. All these things can happen. And so for the Apostle Paul, yes, those whom he can trust, the Lord has other plans for them, they are not around. And for all those who ought to be around, like Demas, they have forsaken him. In this case, Demas, the word that is used is abandoned, betrayed. Others, they were simply weak of heart. Right? Because you look at verse 16, whereby he had to give an answer, right? Apparently before the court. At my first answer, verse 16, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. All men forsook me. So it's so sad. Sometimes this can happen. And if you intend to be true to the end, please be prepared that this may really happen to your life. You know, just now there is a hymn that we have sung, right? As we give of our tithes and offerings, have you decided to follow Jesus? Now, one of the stanzas in that hymn is, though no man is with me, what still I will follow. Now, this one even the children, right? They know how to sing. But have you considered the implication of the words that you have sung? That is the implication. That you want to stand true to Christ even if nobody agrees with you with regards to God's word and the truth. You are willing to go alone. And that can happen, that may happen, and you are prepared for it. Well, this was what happened to the Apostle Paul. So how thankful we are that, well, there is still Luke with him. And interestingly, there was another person whom he desired to make that long journey together with Timothy. And that person is Mark. Mark, now why is this person, why is the presence of the name Mark down here in verse 11? Right? So interesting. Well, it was because there was a clash, before 2 Timothy, right, between Paul and Silas over John Mark. Now, what did John Mark do? Right, you turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Right, John Mark was supposed to travel on a missionary journey together with Paul and Barnabas, sorry, not Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. Then you look at Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the world. So in other words, they were on their way for the missionary journey. When they came to the place called Pamphylia, suddenly the young man, Mark, decided that he cannot take the journey any longer, and so he returned. Right, he went back, right, from Pamphylia, no longer accompanying Barnabas and Paul. And so the Apostle Paul disagreed with taking of John Mark. And he was right. Remember, he is the apostle. Right? And so he says the infallible pattern of ministry and service down here. And so therefore, he was correct. He was correct not to take him because he could be taken, John Mark. What is right for John Mark is to show the fruits of his repentance and also to prove himself once again that he is someone that can be trusted upon in the mission field. Before that was done, you cannot just simply take him because he has failed. He has failed. But because of this issue, contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas, and so therefore they went their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark, sailed unto Cyprus, Paul through Silas, so that is how Paul ended up with Silas, right, on the missionary journey, after that to Philippi, right, unto the grace of God. So this was what happened, and John Mark was the catalyst of such a sharp contention and disagreement. And did John Mark deserve to be rebuked? Yes, very much so. Please understand that. It's something serious. Right, to abandon the group in the mission field. Well, for us, we read this sometimes, we think, oh, it's just a small matter, like return. You try to go to the mission field, really long-term missions, you go, and then halfway through, your associate abandon you. It can even cause the death of missionaries. And so, there was this contention. And yet, down here, at the end of the life of the Apostle Paul, in fact, even before the end, like remember just now we read Philemon, whose name did we read? Marcus, Mark. That was earlier than 2 Timothy. Now, at the end of 2 Timothy, take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, these words are really words of good testimony, not just with regards to Mark, but also with Paul. For yes, Paul, he did what he needed to do. He had to be very firm in that particular situation. Mark needs to prove himself first. But if a man is a man of pride, and if he had done that particular action simply because of vengeance, then when John Mark has proven himself, do you think he would have taken back Mark? Of course not. Sometimes people even go all their way to hinder that particular person so that he will not succeed. No. So Paul sets for us a very good example. Whatever things he did, well, he did it for the good, or not only of John Mark, but also for the churches. And according to the right time, according to God's purpose, well, he restored, right, John Mark back to the work of the field. And this was also a good testimony for John Mark, because yes, John Mark didn't begin well, but did he give up? No, John Mark didn't give up. Yes, I failed, but I know what the Lord has called me to do. And so let me put in my utmost effort to learn from my mistakes, to improve, to be diligent, and then to show myself faithful and useful and profitable in the work of the Lord again. And he did. No, he could very easily have been so angry with the Apostle Paul. Huh, you don't want to bring me, you see my uncle, Barnabas was his uncle, you see my uncle, you see how he treated me? Huh, in the end, family is still the best. I don't want to have anything to do with the Apostle Paul. I don't want to have anything to do with the Apostle Paul. Look at how harsh he has treated me. Look at how angry he was with me. No more. Nothing with Apostle Paul anymore. Here is a man who is spiritual, because he evaluated why John Mark, or why the Apostle Paul did what he did. He realized his mistake. He admitted his mistake, he repented, and he asked the Lord to help him to be true to him again. Because of that, at the end of the life of the Apostle Paul, John Mark, he is profitable to me for the ministry. So if anyone down here not walking true to the Lord, learn from John Mark. There is always forgiveness with the Lord. Repent from your sin, return to Him. Of course, with regards to certain areas of service, once you have sinned against the Lord in certain ways, you may not be able to return. For example, with regards to the pastorate, there are certain public sins. Once you are sinned, you would deny impossible to return. But that does not mean you cannot be profitable in the work of the Lord. Why won't you return to Him? Yes, Lord, I have not been true to You in the past, but I want to be true to You right now. Rather be like John Mark than to be like Demas. You know, to be like Demas means what? You think that you have a good beginning, and then after that you become very presumptuous, thinking that you will never fall. And so you begin to walk with your head in the clouds, and after that, oh, how great the fall it is. And you have so many testimonies of people who are like that in church history. Now, this is also church history, don't forget. This is church history also. Right? There is an ancient church called Ephesus. These are letters written to actual people. These are not theories. This really happened in history. Don't be like Demas. Don't be like Jehoash. Don't be like Joash. But in the beginning, when Jehoiada, the priest, was around, he was very faithful. Once Jehoiada and then his group of counselors died, and then the princes of Judah began to do obeisance to Jehoash, he began to let his head turn, he began to follow the world, he did that which is not right in the eyes of God. In the good beginning, under Jehoiada, and when his teacher was around, he was involved in the repair work of the temple. After that, he was involved in the destruction of the temple. Those things, those silver and gold that was consecrated by Jehoshaphat, his grandfather, he gave it all away. So take note. Return to the Lord and be faithful to Him now, and towards the end, yes, this is a faithful man, then to begin well, and after that, just simply fade away. That is the worry which we sometimes have with regards to young people. Sometimes they begin well, they fade away. But please don't just look at young people. Any one of us can be like this. Don't rest on your laurels. Always ask the Lord to lead us to higher ground. And to stick to Him, to be loyal to Him. Not loyalty. Loyalty is something that is so looked down upon, a value that is so looked down upon in society today. Nobody seems to be loyal to anybody. Why? Because we seem to think that we can go from place to place, you know, finding a job. Now, I'm not saying that please don't change job, okay? When time comes, the Lord leads you to another job, please change. But the kind of thinking out there in the world, you know, have experienced two years here, three years there. Don't care about the company when my time comes, simply because of my advancement. Then I jump. Where is loyalty? No loyalty at all, right? And so this kind of thinking also comes in with regards to the Lord. Loyalty to the Lord, I'm only loyal to the Lord when the Lord serves me. And then you become Demas. Take note of this. Then after that, you have Tychicus. You know, Tychicus was the messenger, bearer of the epistle to the Colossian church. Now, down here, well, the Apostle Paul also trusted him with this letter to Timothy. Right? Another one, faithful to the end. Then, in verse 13, look at Paul's words at the end of his life. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Right, so bring me a cloak because winter time is coming. It's going to be very cold. Right, it's not like in Singapore. There's our winter time is 22 degrees Celsius. No, right, over there winter, those temperatures. If you don't have a coat, you can die. So this cloak bring with me. But what other things? And the books. So books are likely to be, you know, please don't think of books like this, right? You know, books in those days are not like this. Like, take note, printing press not invented. So what are the books? Well, likely, right, these are books written on papyrus, right? Scrolls, right, written on papyrus. Parchments will be those written on vellum. Animal skins, higher quality. And so this will likely be books and parchments to do with what? To do with God's word or expositions of God's word. Even at the end of his life, even though he knows that he's going to depart, he still wanted to study God's word. He is still a learner of the truth. And this is something that we must also have in us. You know, will you be true to the Lord? If you are true to the Lord until the end, yes, even at the end, you continue to study God's word. Cling on to God's word. Have God's word as your portion and not let it go until the very end. Until the time that the Lord really says, go home. Don't be one that at the end of your life say, I am now, you know, I am old and weak. And sometimes we are not even old and weak. We are just a little old. Older, you know, because sometimes even as young adults, you know, I can speak for young adults. Even young adults will say, now I'm a little older. And so those who are older than the young adults will say, how old you are? You say got A and pain, but A and pain is more than you. But the young adult will also say, I got aches and pains, you know. No lah, I don't want to study God's word anymore. Right? Yes, young adults. Or you mean I'm the only one who is tempted to say such things. Now, learn from the example of Paul. And how even at the end of his life, look, well, even at the end of his life, he still had enemies. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. But look at how he reacted to his enemies. So firstly, don't expect enemies to go away. Yeah, even when you are dying, maybe still will have enemies. Right, look at Reverend Toh, before he went home to the Lord, enemies were still around, still hoping for him to die. Really, you should have seen those letters that he wrote to him. Well, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So he left all vindication to the Lord. Sometimes don't need to respond. Let the Lord vindicate. The Lord reward him according to his works. That was something I really learned from Reverend Toh. Reverend Toh, sometimes we see the way he suffered, we look at him and say, hey, why don't you want to react back to this person? He talked such things about you. He did all this evil against you. He harmed you. You still don't want to write and then to expose him. Only the Lord will deal with him. That is what he often tells us. Well, this is the example of Paul. Well, the Lord will reward him according to his works. The only thing he was concerned of is who? Was Timothy. Of whom be thou aware also, for he greatly withstood our words, our preachings down here, the preached word of God. Right, so the reason why he should be withstood is what? Because he is an enemy against God's word. So you better beware, because Timothy, now that I'm about to leave, you can be very sure that he will, right, come after you. Because you preach the truth, he does not like the truth. But have no fear, the Lord will keep you. Just let the Lord vindicate. The time of vindication will come. Just rest in Christ. Rest in the Lord. That is what it means to be true to the Lord. He never sought vengeance at his own hand. Always leave it to the Lord. So let us be the same. Look at how he also treated those who were weak-hearted and left him. I pray God that it may not be late to their charge. See that? And can you also say that? Oh, sometimes it can be very difficult, especially when you go to the workplace, these people keep doing all these kind of nasty things to you. Do you have the kind of heart to pray, Lord, I pray that it will not be laid to their charge? But still, if it's brethren in the church, oh Lord, I pray that it will not be laid to their charge, because you know the circumstances are so difficult. Who wants to die? They don't want to die, so therefore they forsook me. Oh Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a man that is true to the Lord. Everything, just leave it to the Lord. And because anyway, my life is in your hands. Even if they are with me, nothing they do is able to change the time, the divine timetable. So I just leave my life into your hands. Don't blame them, oh Lord. How wonderful, right, this kind of heart. So he says here, don't lay to the charge, notwithstanding, you know, even though they were not with me, I was alone. Yet I was very never alone. The Lord stood with me. The Lord granted me strength, energized me, right? That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Right? So the Gentiles, even in Rome, they heard him, as you will see later on. Right? There seem to be some new people, right, that appeared in this epistle. Right? And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, was there a real lion? We do not know. Right? In those days, sometimes people try to slay their victims using a lion. Well, we do not know. But definitely the Lord delivered the Apostle Paul from danger. And so he was very confident that the Lord will also do the same thing with regards to Timothy. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. This will continue until my time is up. And even if my time is up, yes, even if they can slay me, that is also deliverance. Because once they slay me, means what? They cannot do any evil to me. Right? That's their final act. You know that? If somebody slays you, that's the final act that they can do to you. Because after that, your soul is in heaven. After that glorified body, nothing more they can do. No, it's over for them. It's over. That's the maximum they can do. Time's up. Too bad. No more evil you can do. I'm now gone. I'm now departed. Right, that is the promise. And of course, when the Apostle Paul says this here also, right, wanting Timothy to learn these things, and also wanting us to also learn these things. And so with such an encouragement, will we be faithful to the end? Well, we thank God you still have people like Prisca. You still have people like Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus. Right, all these are people that have been mentioned, right, before earlier in the epistles, like Trophimus. And then you have in verse 21 some new people down here. Right? So apparently, right, even for his second imprisonment, perhaps, right, these people are the people whom he has ministered to, and now, but they have believed the Lord and are now faithfully serving Christ. You have Eubulus, Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and there are still, right, other brethren that are around. Now we praise the Lord for all these things. And so the question then would be, now that we have read all these things here in the book of Timothy, will you also be true like the Apostle Paul? Will you be true like Luke? If you have not been true, then now it is the time for you to repent. And that will be the example of John Mark. But if you feel that you are walking right with the Lord, oh, please be very careful. Never ever think that we will never fall. You let the world creep into your heart. You are presumptuous. You can very well be a demon. And so what we ought to do is we must pray for grace for the Lord to keep us faithful. Yes, it's only by the Lord's grace that we will be true. So will you be true? Well, let our answer be, by thy grace, O Lord, we will. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee for the wonderful lessons that we have learned from out of thy word. We thank thee for thy admonishments. We thank thee for thy encouragements. May thou, O Lord, by thy Spirit, keep thy people walking faithfully in thy truth. This we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name.